And our next case is Goins v. Colvin. Mr. Schultz.
May it please the Court, Your Honors, Barry Schultz on behalf of the plaintiff, Crystal Goins. This is a Social Security disability matter. I would first like to address two points that the ALJ considered in finding Ms. Goins not credible. This is found at page 28 of the administrative record. In the third paragraph, the ALJ starts by saying the claimant has not had any surgical intervention or physical therapy, and this is in a discussion of her credibility. But the ALJ had recognized 2 pages earlier, at page 26 of the administrative record, that Ms. Goins was on a waiting list to get microdiscectomy. So the fact that she hadn't had surgical intervention should not allow a negative inference, because she actually had been prescribed surgery and was on a waiting list, but she had been on that list for 6 months at the time of the ALJ hearing. At the end of that third paragraph, the ALJ says that although she indicated that her lack of insurance prevented her from obtaining more treatment, the record also does not contain repeated and ongoing visits to the emergency room for treatment. And this court, fairly recently in the Hughes versus Astru case, held that that's not a proper basis for discrediting a claimant, because emergency rooms are not free services, especially when the person is not having an emergency but needs treatment for a chronic problem. So the fact that Ms. Goins did not have insurance, she was at the Stroger Hospital to get some treatment, but she could not afford to go to the emergency room because she was having pain and she was getting medication for her condition. But the primary error in the ALJ's decision was that she recognized that Ms. Goins's condition had worsened. The state agency doctors who reviewed this case only had an MRI of the lumbar spine from 1998. However, in March of 2010, Ms. Goins underwent another MRI of her lumbar spine, as well as an MRI of the cervical spine. The MRI of the lumbar spine showed some significant progression, deterioration of her condition, including 2 disc protrusions that effaced the thecal sac and were abutting on the nerve roots. One was the one at L5-S1 was a large disc protrusion, whereas in 1998 it was small. In addition, the cervical spine MRI indicated for the first time that Ms. Goins suffered from cervical spine degenerative disc disease throughout the cervical spine. But in addition, that she had a Chiari malformation, which is a rare condition where the person's brain stem herniates into the spinal canal due to various things, including sometimes an abnormally shaped skull or things like that. But the state agency doctors did not know about the cervical spine condition or the worsening lumbar condition. In addition, Ms. Goins testified at her hearing that she weighed 250 pounds. She was 5'6". At the time the state agency doctors prepared their opinions, Ms. Goins weighed about 220, so there was a significant weight increase also. So when the ALJ recognized that she had additional evidence in the record that showed that the state agency doctors were unaware of, showing significant deterioration in the plaintiff's condition, she was obligated at that point to obtain some type of medical opinion, medical advice, send the claimant for a consultative examination, call upon a medical expert, contact the claimant's treating doctor, something to so that she could have an informed basis for determining how this new evidence affected Ms. Goins' testimony and her limitations. But instead of doing that, the ALJ forged ahead and reached her own independent conclusions on how this additional evidence impacted the plaintiff's ability to function. The state agency doctors found that Ms. Goins was able to lift 50 pounds for occasionally, up to a third of the workday, 25 pounds frequently, stand and walk for 6 hours out of an 8-hour workday, and sit for 6 hours out of an 8-hour workday. The ALJ agreed with those findings. But she concluded, again at page 28 of the administrative record, in the last paragraph, that based on the additional medical evidence and the plaintiff's subjective complaints, the ALJ added some postural limits, meaning limitations in crouching and stooping and crawling and limitations in stair climbing and walking on ramps. But the ALJ failed to provide any explanation as to how she determined that Ms. Goines knew the objective evidence and her new conditions would limit her ability to stoop and crouch and crawl, but would not limit her ability additionally to lift or carry or stand or sit. Ms. Goines testified that she had shooting pain down her leg, especially the left leg, but she could only stand for a few minutes because of that pain. She testified that she had to shift her weight when she was sitting on a fairly continuous basis, and then sometimes she needed to lie down. But the ALJ never tied the most important objective evidence of record into her decision making. She never explains how she reached her conclusions. I should point out that the state agency doctors, they state that the MRI report that they considered was 2008, but that was either a mistake of fact or a typographical error, because the ALJ recognized that that MRI that they considered was from 1998, so it was very old. In addition, the state agency doctors' reports don't indicate that they were aware that Ms. Goines was obese, and so they didn't consider that combination of her obesity with her lumbar spine condition, because they don't mention that they were aware of it. In addition, Ms. Goines testified that she had significant headaches 4 to 5 times a week, sometimes lasting all day. And the ALJ dismissed her headache complaints, finding that she was not diagnosed with migraine headaches. But as we pointed out in our briefs, the classic symptom of a Chiari malformation is headaches. So while Ms. Goines wasn't diagnosed with migraine headaches, she had a medical condition not considered by any of the doctors who evaluated the claim for the government, which could cause headaches. In fact, that's the classic symptom, and the ALJ should have considered that. The ALJ, in fact, doesn't even mention the diagnosis of the Chiari malformation. So for these reasons, the plaintiff requests that this court reverse the decision of the administrative law judge. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, Mr. Shaw, let me ask you a question. Rather irrelevant, though it is. If a magistrate judge reverses the Social Security Administration, can the government appeal that?
Yes.
Does that ever happen? I can't think of any case where, in my 32 years, where I've seen such an appeal.
It has happened. There's a case pending with this court now where they've done that. It's my experience that the government mainly has appealed claims where the district court reversed and awarded benefits, and the government felt that the remand may have been appropriate but not the award of benefits. I've seen that a few times, but there is a case now pending where they're appealing the merits.
Do magistrate judges frequently reverse the Social Security Administration?
Yes, Your Honor, they do.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Schultz. Ms. Malia?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Sarah Malia. I appear today on behalf of the Acting Commissioner of Social Security. There are two primary issues here. One I will touch on is the first that Mr. Schultz addressed, and that is the 2010 MRI results that he asserts show deterioration of her condition. The 2010 MRI results are not at all supported by any doctor's assessment of those MRI results.
Well, they weren't reviewed by any of the doctors, were they?
That's correct. They came
well,
in.
Why didn't the administrative law judge ask a doctor to review the MRI?
The administrative law judge didn't need to ask a doctor to review the MRI.
I don't understand you.
The administrative law judge is required to seek...
You have a new MRI, and you'd think, now it's been a number of years, you'd think you'd want a doctor to review it to see what her current condition is.
And it had some significant indications on it, at least as a layperson, they seem significant to me, the brain stem coming into the spinal canal.
Sure, again,
more deterioration in the areas that were previously noted.
To address that, the 2010 MRI was the first cervical spine MRI, so the Chiari-1 malformation would not have shown up on a prior, that's a congenital defect, it would not have shown on any prior testing. As far as the lumbar, her disintegration, I guess, in her lumbar condition, as plaintiff contends, the MRI results show, what the ALJ pointed to is the mild findings that occur throughout the record of her treatment. In fact, in February of 2010...
Wait, I don't understand you. What did the ALJ say about the second MRI?
The ALJ discussed the second MRI at page 48 of the appendix, and it's the second paragraph from the bottom.
I don't see the paragraph at the bottom saying anything about it.
I'm sorry, page 48
of the appendix? It's discussed in the penultimate paragraph.
Yeah, I'm sorry, the penultimate paragraph.
So?
So what the ALJ does is discuss it.
All medical stuff. Why doesn't he have a doctor to say this?
Because the ALJ didn't need to have a doctor.
Well, how can the ALJ say these are mild degenerative disc, it's mild degenerative disc disease? How can he say that, or she say that?
The ALJ is charged with looking at the entirety of the evidence in a case. And so in this case, the ALJ did what he what she needed to.
All right, you tell me what this means.
I can't do that, Your Honor. And the ALJ,
you don't know what it means. You're a lawyer.
The ALJ,
how are we supposed to review this if the lawyers cannot decipher the language of the agency?
It's the plaintiff's burden to provide that evidence to the court that deciphers the language that the ALJ set forth here. The ALJ was simply stating here.
Look, this is not right. The administrative law judge has to write opinions which are intelligible to the people, to the parties. You can't understand it. Obviously, I mean, maybe Mr. Schultz can. She can't understand this stuff. I can't understand it. Says that the measurement of the central spinal canal reflected stenosis. Yes, this is a problem. But she doesn't say, you know, how severe the stenosis is.
Under the circumstances, an ALJ is required to gather additional information.
Well, where does she say how severe this stenosis is?
Where does the ALJ say that?
Yes.
The ALJ does not.
Well, then how are we supposed to figure out what the significance of this second MRI is?
That's part of the problem here. And that's
part
that's
of the problem. Why do you defend a case like this? I don't understand it.
What the ALJ...
Does the Social Security Administration legal staff ever exercise professional discretion in deciding whether to defend the indefensible?
Yes, we consider on each
case.
Well,
how do you defend this? Here is a recent MRI. It's very significant evidence, and the ALJ does not say whether this how serious what changes this MRI reveals over the earlier MRI. Now it shows multi-level degenerative disc disease and degenerative facet arthropathy. That sounds pretty bad, right? And stenosis sounds bad. And there's nothing here about, partially effacing ventral thecal sac. It's disgusting. Now, but there's no evaluation. There's nothing to say whether this has any significance. Now, how can that be excused or justified?
Because, because it is the plaintiff's burden
to demonstrate disability. It's a description. It's not an evaluation.
That's right. I don't disagree with that, Your Honor. He's described in the March 2010. What the ALJ says in the decision is that over the entire course of this time, every medical examination that plaintiff has had has shown mild issues.
No, but there's no medical examination of the 2010 MRI.
That's right. There's a medical examination in February of 2010 that's done at Stroger Hospital. And at that time, the examination shows no edema in her legs, tenderness in the thoracic spine, which is her mid-spine, negative straight leg.
Now, the administrative law judge finds it suspicious that she doesn't go to the emergency room for treatment. Now, that's just a big blunder, right?
The administrative law judge actually acknowledged that she had gone to the emergency room twice for treatment.
But the administrator is not satisfied that she goes to the emergency room frequently enough, which you ought to be doing if her condition is this bad. Now, we know that administrative law judges aren't allowed to say that without exploring the ability, the financial ability, of a person to keep going to the... You know what they do in these emergency rooms. They hit you with a heavy bill, and when you don't pay it, they garnish your wages. It's not fun dealing with emergency rooms. Now, where is there any recognition of this in the opinion?
Recognition? The ALJ discussed.
Where is this recognized as a potential issue in the opinion?
The ALJ... At page 49 of the appendix, the ALJ acknowledges, sorry, Your Honor, I'm trying to find the exact spot. The ALJ acknowledges Ms. Goines' claim that she was, and Mr. Schultz alluded to this, her claim that she was scheduled for discectomy surgery and that she was not able to receive that treatment. She was looking for somewhere else that would accept her without insurance so that she could get it more quickly. So the ALJ considered her lack of...
Yeah, and what's her conclusion?
That the claim that she did not seek treatment because of a lack of insurance was not credible. And the other issue the ALJ looked to... Because the ALJ looked to the treatment that Ms. Goines did receive.
I don't understand. It says she indicated that her lack of insurance prevented her from obtaining more treatment. The record also does not contain repeated and ongoing visits to the emergency room for treatment.
Because Ms. Goines was receiving treatment at a number of places. Ms. Goines saw her primary...
Wait, I'm sorry, what?
Ms. Goines was receiving treatment from a number of providers. She saw her primary care physician during this time period numerous times for colds and other respiratory issues. At those visits, she made no mention.
What is the significance when the administrative law judge says the record does not contain repeated and ongoing visits to the emergency room? What does the administrative law judge do with that observation?
The administrative law judge, and this is really the overriding point of his decision, is that Ms. Goines received treatment, limited treatment, but received treatment, and there are a number of places that she received treatment during the relevant time period. She also was able to go to the emergency room at Stroger Hospital and receive care from a hospital that operates on a sliding fee scale for indigent individuals.
But it says does not contain repeated and ongoing visits to the emergency room. I'm asking you, what is the significance of that statement to the administrative law judge's analysis? That statement?
Yes, that statement indicates that she was, he found her claim to not, that she didn't seek care because of a lack of insurance to be incredible. And so
what is the significance of the statement that she didn't make frequent visits to the emergency room?
That Ms. Goines did not, she appeared twice, so she knew that she could receive treatment at Stroger Hospital. She did not continue to appear there. She received treatment at a number of other places where she was.
So what's the significance of her not going to the emergency room?
That she either had insurance that was covering her treatment at the other places or had the financial means to cover that treatment. She received treatment there twice. She was clearly aware that Stroger Hospital was an option available to her, but she didn't seek to avail herself of that.
I don't know what you're talking about. What does this have to do with lack of insurance?
Ms. Goines contends that she didn't seek additional treatment because of her lack of insurance. And the ALJ recognized that and indicated that she had, in fact, gone to Stroger Hospital twice and received treatment. She also received, at Stroger, she received a referral to physical therapy. She received an MRI examination, the March examination. She
but knew that's that, not what this sentence is about. This sentence is about her not making repeated ongoing visits to the emergency room.
My assessment of the ALJ statement.
What does that have to do with? Are you saying that the administrative law doesn't believe that she didn't have insurance? Or
that's
what?
A possibility. Yes,
that's she was a possibility. Does she say that?
From this statement, Your Honor, the statement.
Somewhere else, she says it.
She just. This is her. No, this is her statement about.
This is nonsense. Should not have defended this case. My opinion.
Of course, I have some questions. Thank you.
Mr. Schultz? Pardon?
Unless you have questions, I have nothing further.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel.